Oh, det. Before I start my talk this evening, I just want to acknowledge another sad thing which happened in the community last week. A young, there's a lady who comes to the church here, Linda, who's been coming for the last few months, who became a Christian a few months ago, and her family, and also her grandma came to the Lord about 3 weeks ago in the evening. And unfortunately, her son, a couple of weeks ago, got badly beaten up in the community, and I was invited, which is a great privilege for me, to go down to St. James to pray with him. And I prayed with him last week and with Linda, and we went in there and just prayed with him. And unfortunately, he died a couple of days ago. And so we just want to really just lift their family to them now as well, because we're celebrating Christmas, but at the same time we're contrasting it with some of the sad realities of life. And they're a wonderful family, and they've been so welcoming of me and my wife Catherine, and really welcomed me and Catherine into their community. And we want to be part of their lives together, because they're important to God and important to us. So shall we just take a moment just to pray for them as well? And so Lord, we just want to thank you so much for the life of Edward, Lord, who was only 21 and was sadly taken away in such a horrible way. Lord, I thank you that when we prayed for him and with him, we just prayed that you'd reveal yourself to him. And we know that you're more powerful and more loving, compassionate than any one of us. And you always want to bring us into relationship with you. And we just pray now, Lord, that he'll be with you in glory, Lord. And Lord, we just want to pray now for the family. We want to pray for Linda, the daughters, the extended family, the brothers, all of those, Lord, who have been sadly affected by this horrendous loss. And Lord, we know that you come into grief and these horrible situations and bring your love and compassion. And you turn these things around. And I pray, Lord, that you will turn this horrendous situation around for your glory and for your good, that we'd have opportunities to bless these people and to get alongside them. And thank you for such a blessing they are to me, Lord, and to us as a church. And we pray for them tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. It's been quite a week, as they say. So if you'd like to turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 8, which I'm not quite sure what that would be like in your Bibles, the red Bibles. I don't know if someone wants to shout out what the number is. So that would be 1029. Okay, 1029. That's not a bingo call, by the way. So if the lady's going, Johnny, you know. All right, 1027. Anyway, it's in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Do you, over here, do you get angel delight? That kind of lovely, that pudding. Well, I've called the shepherd's delight, so there you go. So I enjoyed it, but I always enjoy my own jokes, so I must be the only one who does. So anyway, let's start from the top. It says this: and there were shepherds living out on the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And so I love this story. As I was reading it, it really moved my heart. The shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And it was just a normal evening for them. It was the night shift. It was the night where they did what they normally did every single night. They would be out there looking out over the sheep, probably chewing a blade of grass, chatting to each other, looking up at the twinkling stars. It was kind of always as it happened. It was kind of mundane. It was kind of ordinary. And that's so often what life can be like, can't it? The kind of the everyday. Is this all there is? But that's what I love about God. He loves to break into our world, doesn't he? He loves to reveal his truth. He loves to bring his power to change the ordinary into the extraordinary, to connect the mundane to the supernatural, to make the ordinary open our eyes to see suddenly, wow, the wonder of God. So often we miss it, don't we? Heads down. So they're out there on that night, just as it always were, on the night shift, hanging out together, wondering how long until we can go and do something else. But suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and it says they were terrified. So suddenly, out of this mundaneness, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to these shepherds on the mountains. And suddenly, from the ordinary existence, their lives were to change forever. And the word angel means messenger of God. So the angel sent on behalf of God to bring them good news about God. And the most amazing things about shepherds, that they were the outsiders of their society. They were the outcast, the lowest of the low. But it was to the shepherds the Lord chose to reveal himself. It was the shepherds that God associated his ministry with. It says this, "For out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd of my people Israel." Jesus said this, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and the sheep know me." See, the Lord has a special place in his heart for the shepherds. The Lord has a special place in his heart for the outsiders. The Lord reveals the precious things that we think are for the powerful to those who in society were insignificant. Because God doesn't see the world as we do. David describes the Lord as his shepherd. He recognized God as that. So the Lord spoke to shepherds. He came as a shepherd. He came as an outsider in order to reach outsiders. And so the angel appeared. And then as if a whole framework of the glory of the Lord shone around them. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when we look at the glory of the Lord, it's not just like we see at Christmas, you know, we see a little angel on the Christmas tree, and we see a flickering light. We see this kind of, oh, that's an angel. When the glory of the Lord shines all around, my gosh, will you notice it? If you look at the Old Testament, the word glory is revealed in many ways. It's signified by an intense light. It's signified by fire in the sky. It's signified by God's word coming like lightning. God's glory was located in a temple, in a tabernacle. It was in a place that people could only go into once a year. And in the story of Moses, he said, "God, please show me your glory." And so God put him in a cleft of a rock so that he would hide because God's glory is so powerful and so significant. It says this, if I can find it. So this is what the Lord said to Moses: I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I'll proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. And you see, so often we forget when God reveals himself, he's not the meek and mild baby that we like to bring him down to. He's almighty, powerful God. And when God turns up on the earth, my gosh, he doesn't have to make it himself known. And so when the angel came to speak the word, suddenly the air was filled with glory, the ecstatic presence of God. And of course, they were terrified. We so often think when a heavenly being comes to stand before us, we think, oh, it's an angel. But an angel came standing, this powerful being, standing before the shepherds. The glory of the Lord was around them. The fear of the Lord had come upon them because they realized they had seen God's power, and they realized they're only shepherds. That was their response. But what was the God's response? Do not be terrified. He says this: do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And so in the midst of this encounter with God, the huge angel standing there bringing the good news, the terrifying nature of God revealing himself as Almighty God, the word comes, do not be afraid. I've come to bring good news of great joy for all people. And the word good news there is exactly the same word as the word gospel. It's what the gospels are all about. It's what we read in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John and all those within the Old and New Testament who bring us good news, good revelation of their encounter with God, how it's changed their lives and how it's impacted them. So what is the good news? What is the great joy? It says this: today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. So what is such a good news about that? Why are they so joyful about that? Why is it such good news for all people? Well, the great news is that God, through his Son Jesus, ushers in God's salvation plan. It's great news. It's great joy for all those who respond to God's invitation. Suddenly, salvation is not a distant hope. I hope one day there's something after death. I hope one day there's something behind the beautiful creation I see. I hope someday there's the reason why I get up in the morning, there's some purpose behind it. Suddenly, Jesus comes into town, and the salvation plan has been initiated and executed. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. So how will you respond to God's invitation? How will you respond to God's invitation of his salvation plan for you? And in this phrase, it says, today in the town of David, the Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And what we see here is that Luke wants to be very clear to us of who this Saviour is and why he came. The first thing is that Luke uses the word Saviour relating to Jesus. What he wants us to be very clear is when Jesus came, he brings the same qualities that belong to God. Jesus and God are the same. He then goes on to say, he's been born to you, he is Christ. And Christ was a very would have been understood very clearly within the Hebrew society. Christ means Messiah. It means the anointed king. It was the promise that was held within the nation that one day a king would come and save his people. That's when Luke refers to the word Christ. He means the Christ that is to come. And in Luke 4, Jesus identifies himself when he's in the temple and he unscrolls Isaiah 61. He identifies himself as the anointed one. He says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." In other words, the anointing of the Lord is upon me. The anointing of King is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. And so what Luke is doing, he's linking in who Christ is and why he came. He's moving him from the Old Testament prophecy of the coming God, coming King, and bringing him into the here and now. This baby is no ordinary baby. This baby is the Saviour. He is the Christ. He also refers to him as the Lord. In the Old Testament, the word Lord is referring to the word Yahweh. And the word Yahweh is the holy, holiest name that could be, was hardly ever spoken because it's too holy to speak of. But when he mentions Lord in the New Testament, he's linking the history of Yahweh coming and then him coming as a child, as a baby into the world. He's making the link. There's nothing different between Yahweh and God. And so the arrival of Jesus fulfills which was spoken by the prophets. He says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And so these, I imagine these shepherds must have been quite overwhelmed with this, wasn't they? Suddenly one minute in a field, one minute sitting out there, and suddenly this revelation is pouring into their lives as God is making reference and reference to the things that they would have known about. And so the sign that will prove what the angel has prophesied or what he has spoken of will be this. "You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." I was thinking about this the other day. Where do you start looking? Have you thought about that? When the angel of the Lord suddenly comes and says, you know, "You will find him in a manger." Well, I suppose it's in Bethlehem, which is a start. How do they find him? I don't know. I'm just asking you. Maybe you can tell me after. But it's that sense of actually, they did find him. And then we see, we've had the angel, we've had the glory of the Lord, and then suddenly, the company of heaven, they don't want to miss out, do they? It says this, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favour rests." So the angel appears, we have God's glory, and suddenly, another dimension happens. And we see the glory upon glory as other heavenly hosts come and join in with the shepherds in this wonderful revelation. And in the song they're singing, it says, "Glory to God in the highest." The word "glory to God in the highest" is used in two instances. It's used as Jesus is welcomed into the world as a baby in swaddling clothes. It's also used in the last week of Jesus' life. Do you remember that on Palm Sunday? When Jesus coming into town on a colt, and they're saying, "Glory to God in the highest." And so it's like the beginning of his life. There's a glory to God. He comes in the most unlikely way, as a baby, weak, in swaddling clothes, in a small trough. And his other unlikely arrival into the city, on top of a colt. It's an unusual way for the King of Kings to arrive in town, isn't it? But that's how God is. He's not like us, is he? And so in the song says, "Glory to God in the highest and peace to men on whom his favour rests." And the wonderful thing about the arrival of Jesus and on the promise of Jesus is that with God, his invitation that he wants to bring us peace. Whatever we're going through, whether it's the loss of a brother, whether it's the loss of a loved one unexpectedly, whether it's all sorts of things that we go through, even in the midst of the darkest things, God wants to bring his peace. He says this in John, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." And it's an extraordinary thing when Jesus breaks into our lives in the most unexpected moments. In the times we think, my gosh, all hope goes out the window. What is going on? And suddenly, the Lord breaks in. He reveals himself. And he wants to do that in our lives again and again. And so the coming of Jesus on earth was to bring peace to men on whom his favor rests. And the word peace in Hebrew is the word shalom, which means wholeness. It's everything in balance. It's right relationship with God. Because peace does not automatically come, does it? Because often we find peace in all sorts of things. And all sorts of wrong things. But Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." You see, Jesus' peace is very different from that of the world. And you see, this favor rests not on the few. This favor rests on all those who respond to God's invitation. And peace is not automatic. It's a byproduct of a relationship with Jesus. It's as we focus on Jesus, as we build Jesus into our lives, as we build the foundations in our lives, the byproduct of knowing who God is, knowing his word, knowing his peace, that comes as a byproduct of a relationship with God. And that's again what he wants to do today. He wants to break in to the normal, the everyday of our lives. He wants to be reminded to us that he's just a click away. He's there for you. He's there for me. He's there for each one of us here tonight. He's that far away. And I want to encourage you to call upon the name of the Lord. He's there for you. He's there with you. I just want to remind you. To remind you this evening. Let's have a moment reminding us. But Jesus, he's just here for us. And sometimes we forget, don't we? We forget that he's just there. Before you know it, you could have an angel standing there. The glory of the Lord. That, you know, the Lord, he's that close. And we need to be reminded of that tonight. I just want to remind you of that. To remind you, if you're going through a difficult time, Jesus is here. He's for you. He's with you. Jesus is here. If you're going through a hard time, he is here. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, you are there with me. Who says that? The Good Shepherd. You see, the Shepherd has come. The Shepherd is here. The Shepherd wants to lead. The Shepherd wants to guide. The Shepherd wants to lead us into his plans. The Shepherd wants to lead us through the difficult times. Because that's the salvation plan that Jesus has instigated by coming to this earth. And it's a plan that he wants every single person here to be part of. And then the angels left and had gone back to heaven. And so it kind of felt as if it's kind of as it was again. One minute on the mountain, one minute we see the angel, the glory of the Lord, the hosts, the promise of God's word, and suddenly it's back to what it's like before. But it's not, is it? You can see the difference. When we meet with God, the next time we come into the same situation, it's different. Can you see that? It's important to know that, you see, because it changes our lives. It's important to know that. The same situation, they're back there again, the shepherds. Look, they're not on the mountain, you know. The shepherds are living out in the fields nearby. They've had the revelation, and now they're going to see the power of God in their lives because they've been shown it. Once you've been shown it, you know how to resource it. Because when I met God, I said, wow, that's amazing. And I know now, again, I can resource it any time I want. It's always there for me. It's never going to go away. And so the shepherds have said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us. And so what's their response? They heard the word, and then they responded. They didn't think, God, that's interesting, wasn't it? I wonder what he said was true, or, you know, where's that, you know, the swaddling clothes and all that sort of stuff. It wasn't this. It says, let's go. Let's see the things that have happened the Lord has told us about. So it says they hurried off. And what do? They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. What God has said happened. What he spoke of was a reality. And when they'd seen him, when they'd seen the word revealed and become true, it says this. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And I suggest the shepherds previously, probably people kind of ignored them. Wouldn't take them seriously. Oh, they're only shepherds, what do they know? They'll be out in the fields, they're just coming down from the mountain, they're normally out in the field tonight. You know, what do they know? You see, something had happened to them that amazed people. Do you know what it was? They met Jesus. When you meet Jesus, it's amazing. When you meet Jesus, people are amazed when you tell stories about what Jesus does. When you meet Jesus, people are itching to hear about the power of God. I'll tell you that. Last couple of weeks, I've met so many people who want to know the hope of Jesus. Because all they know is a dark mountain. The same every day, the mundane. The sheep barring. Yeah. That's all they know. But when you meet Jesus, everything changes. And so when they heard their message, when they heard of the good news that they had spread, people were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. And I'm always very encouraged by that, because I always think that, you know, none of us, or I always think, you know, we're nothing special. But we are special in the respect that, one, that we are very special to God, and I'm not putting each other down or anything like that. But the most amazing thing is that God's message is so powerful to those who do not know him. It's like light pouring into people's living rooms. I just think sometimes we don't comprehend what it means to have the Lord inside us. I always imagine that, you know, the Ark of the Covenant they used to carry along, and no one could get anywhere near it other than the prescribed priests. And then you see the guys touching it, and they were, but we've got that inside us now. The temple of the Lord is inside us. And if people don't notice that, there must be something wrong, mustn't there? If God is living in us, we must notice somewhere along the line, mustn't it? And the thing is, people do. And then it goes on and says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I think it must have been quite amazing. Mary, you know, it says in the previous thing about Mary's song about the incredible thing that God chose her to be the one who would bring Jesus into the world. And sometimes when Jesus does these things and we see Jesus move, I think so often it's good also to be able to sit down and just think these things through, isn't it? And to remember them and to ponder them. And sometimes it's not all about standing at the front telling, you know, going like what I'm doing now. It's sometimes in a quiet place, isn't it? Pondering on the things of God. There's a real humility in that, isn't it? Knowing who God is and holding the precious things between you and God. And so it's both and, isn't it? It's sharing the good news, but it's also holding on the precious things. I know sometimes the Lord said to me, John, don't share that with someone. That's between you and me. And I go and tell someone and blow it. I said, oh, sorry. But sometimes he tells us precious things, doesn't he? That he wants us to hold in our heart because it's a relationship between us and God. And it's between us two. It's not between us lot. And so I think something beautiful about God, he comes to all of us, but he's specific and unique in his relationship to every single person here. Everybody's precious. Everybody's special. Everybody, the Lord has a quiet word for them. It's between you and him. And it's nothing to do with us. Isn't that wonderful? And then it will conclude now. It says this, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And I just love seeing that. You see a incredible transformation in a very short period of time. From the shepherds on the mountains, who suddenly become right in the centre of God's story. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to bring us in to the centre of his story. He wants to welcome us in to the orderliness of our lives. God wants to reveal his son, to reveal his plans for our life. He wants to reveal to us the good news, the joy. So I think that's all I have to say, which is, so shall we pray? And let's just take a moment to imagine ourselves maybe in the fields. It's a dark evening, it's the night shift. It's a field overlooking probably some hills. The stars are twinkling. There's a sense of looking out into the great unknown. And I just want us to locate ourselves there, in the ordinary, not knowing what's around the corner, wondering if anything will change. And I want you to hear these words. These are words that are from Jesus to each one of you here tonight. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. It will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And so the Lord is saying, do not be afraid. And the Lord is bringing good news to you because Jesus has come. And I just want you to welcome Jesus now into whatever your situation is. Just to welcome him. Welcome the good news. Welcome the hope for the world. Welcome the hope for your life. So Lord, now we just want to call upon your name to bring your light now into those dark places. To bring your joy, Lord, into sorrow. To bring your peace into our chaos. To bring your love into our fears. Because perfect love casts out all fear. And just keep welcoming Jesus into your life afresh tonight. Welcome the good news. Welcome the great joy. Welcome the peace that passes understanding. And Lord, we want to ponder these things in our hearts as Mary did, Lord. We want to treasure them. And I pray right now, Lord, that you will keep them in our hearts, Lord, so they don't go away by the storms of life, Lord, but they'll be like treasures glistening. A place, Lord, we can go to again and again. A place, Lord, where you speak to each one of us tenderly and in words that only you and me know. Because they're words calling each one of us to a specific and personal relationship with Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that as we enter in to your truth, the response is nothing less than glorifying your name, praising you, Lord, for all the good things that you do for us. And so, Jesus, we just want to pray, Lord, that you would always help us to focus in on you, to glorify your name, to worship you, to praise you for all the wonderful things you've done for us. In Jesus' precious name.